Would you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks for this day, and Lord, just an awesome opportunity to be here to worship you, to sing praises to you, and all that it means to give honor and merit to you for what you've done for us and what you give us each day. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds now as we talk about worship. Lord, what that means to us and what it looks like, and Lord, that we are here today to worship you. Lord, rid our minds of a few distractions that we might have so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope I don't trip over these things here in a minute, but I grew up in your typical Lutheran church. You know, about 100 people, a little more on Sunday morning. Organ music, trumpets, and some instruments sometimes on Easter Sunday and Christmas Day. Everything was pretty predictable. You went to church, you did page 5 or 15 out of the front part of the hymnal, and that's just the way it was. My eyes were opened when I went with my family to the National LWML Convention in Omaha, Nebraska. I know my mom's here today. She was one of the voting delegates at that convention. We had this huge, massive opening service in like a coliseum. People seated, thousands of people seated all around us. The music, it was an organ, and I best I remember had all sorts of instruments, like an orchestra accompanying them. The service was a special order of service that was laid out just for that convention. And I thought, is this Lutheran? There's too many people here. There's too many instruments involved with the music, and we're not using page 5 or 15. What is worship? When I moved to California to take my first placement out of the seminary, I promise you that we lived in the flattest, hottest place in the United States. But what amazed me about that is that it was flat, and we were at sea level, but yet there was no water there. In a town about 20, 30 miles northwest of us, Calipatria, there was a flagpole with a sign on it that claimed to be the tallest flagpole in the world. 184 feet tall. Why 184 feet tall? Because the top of it was at sea level. So you would go from Hopeville or the Imperial Valley where we lived and Calipatria was, you would go from sea level to below sea level. About 60 miles away, you would climb a mountain range. At least that's what we called it. A lot of people don't call it mountains, but when you go from sea level to 4,100 feet, they were mountains. And what was incredible about that is as you started going up from the Imperial Valley side, it looked like literally someone had dumped loads and loads and loads of round boulders. And I'm thinking Colorado Rocky Mountains? No, this was not it. But yet as we drove up the mountain, I couldn't help but think, wow. This is incredible. I mean, to see God's maybe creative work and even his humor in all of these boulders that's just balancing on each other and laying off to the side. And I thought, wow, the diverse landscape that God has placed in our world today. What is worship? Is worship something we do individually, or is it something we do corporately together? Is worship something that we do only on Sunday mornings, or is worship something that we do every single day? Is worship more of a formal thing where we have an organ and a choir singing, or is worship more of an informal thing where you have a keyboard and a guitar and maybe a few song leaders? You see, it can get a little bit confusing at times if we let it. She was confused, most certainly, that woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. As she comes to that well and Jesus is sitting there, of course she doesn't recognize who he is. All she knows is that he is a man and that he is a Jew. And she's confused that a man and a Jew would even have a conversation with a Samaritan woman. She's confused because most certainly a man would never ask a woman for a drink of water. And she even gets more confused when he begins to pry in on her personal life and he gets everything right. But she finally begins to catch on. This guy is a pretty smart fellow. And realizes that there's something special about him. I just want to reread a portion of our gospel reading, John chapter 4, verses 19 and following. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." You see, what Jesus is saying, the Jewish people definitely had their customs, their practices, and they had their specific place that they were to worship, and that was in the temple at Jerusalem. And it involved all the animal sacrifices and all the rituals and all the laws of the Old Testament. The Samaritans in this passage denotes that they had their special place of worship. But Jesus breaks that down and says there's going to be a time, and it's right now, that there's not going to be a specific place to worship. There's not going to be that place in Jerusalem that you have to go, or in Samaria that you have to go to worship. True worshipers are going to worship in spirit and in truth. It's not going to be about a location. It's not going to be about all the externals that we think it has to have for it to be worshiped. It's going to be about worshiping God. It really comes down to a heart thing. Why are we worshiping? And it really comes down to where it's not an either or, it's a both and and. Is worship an individual thing, or is it a corporate public thing with others? Yes. Both. Is worship something we do on Sunday morning here one day a week, or is it something that we do every day of our life? Yes. Both. Or it should be. Is worship more of a formal thing with an organ and a choir, or is it more of an informal thing with a keyboard and a guitar and some praise leaders? Yeah. It can be both. It can be all of it. You see, worship is about our heart, where our attitude, where our mind is. It's not about all of the externals. It's where we come from internally with worship. You know, I thought about this, and this is really a tough subject, because I know that everyone has an idea of what worship looks like, but that idea can sometimes be different for different people. You see, worship is all of it. Worship is an individual thing and it's a corporate thing. Hopefully most of us do some sort of worship during the week in our devotions, in our Bible reading, or we're, you know, just daily thanking God, like I told the little kids, thanking God that I can get out of bed in the morning and take my first steps without hurting too bad, right? But it's also a corporate thing, as the Hebrews passage said, let us not give up meeting together as some are the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, let us build each other up. So it's a corporate thing where we come together as individuals, encouraging each other, building each other up, supporting each other so that we're equipped to serve people in the world. And let me tell you, the world we live in today, we need all the support and encouragement that we can get. It's not a place that we come here to tear each other down and to be critical about every single thing that's going on. It's about being encouraging, uplifting, supporting each other so that we're equipped to serve God in the world. It is about worshiping on Sunday morning. It is about worshiping every single day of the week. If you took God out of your life during the week, how empty would you feel? How many of us rely on God each and every single day, knowing that He's helping us walk through some of the challenges and difficulties that He's placed in our midst that we would love to get rid of, but yet hopefully at some point we look back and say, now I see. You know, praise God that He was with me. Now I see, I can look back and think, wow, what an incredible God we have each and every day. Not just on Sunday mornings. You see, worship is a hunger. It's a thirst for God and what He's done for us and what He continues to do for us. Our key point really says it all, I think, as we look at that. I worship God for who He is and what He has done for me. Would you say that with me? I worship God for who He is and what He has done for me. And our key verse, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. God intends worship partly to be what we put into it. And you know, I told the Bible class this morning, I said, you know, I thought about this, and I don't know if I've thought about it off and on, even before I was a pastor, because someone mentioned it before. But what do we do to prepare for worship? You know, do we really do anything? I said years and years ago, you had to go to the pastor, the parsonage, or the church office to register for communion, and that was in a way a preparation for the Lord's Supper. But we've lost a lot of that. And I said, what do we really do to prepare for Sunday morning? And I thought, well, when we had kids, we were lucky to fall out of the bed and get our clothes on and get to church on time. That was the thought process that went through our minds getting ready for church, right? Maybe some of us get up and either while you're eating a little bit of breakfast before you get here or on the way into town, or out to the church, you're thinking, I wonder what in the world Pastor Rich is going to come up with this morning. Or maybe some of us truly sit there and think, you know, I am so glad that God has given me the breath of life today. I am so glad that I get to go to church this morning to worship my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know, I don't even care what goes on because I'm going to pour my heart in to worshiping my Savior, Jesus Christ. Because that's what worship is. It's about thirsting and hungering for God. It's about giving Him praise and glory for all that He's done for us and all that He has given to each of us. He sent His Son, which we entering this morning with the palms are reminded of Him entering Jerusalem, headed to the cross at the end of the week. And those shouts of joy turning to shouts of crucifying. And He was crucified, nailed to the cross. Blood was shed to cover our sins. To take the punishment that we deserve so that we could be free. And so that we have the promise of eternal life. We certainly have, as I said last week, everything. Everything to be thankful for. And we need to remember it daily. May God continue to work in our hearts and in our lives that we worship Him here, we worship Him each day of the week as we bring the saving love of Jesus Christ to the people around us. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.